Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 12, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now you can find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't cheap, and we sell nothing. We only exist by your kind donations. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Lisbon, Portugal, La Paz, Bolivia, Latvia, Mumbai, India. That was easy. Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And, of course, cities in the good old USA, such as Washington, D.C., Long Beach, California, Houston, Texas, Henderson, Nevada, Raleigh, New York. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now follow and share us, please, at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. And I pray you all had a great 4th of July. I know I did. It was my birthday. I'm now 63, so not that it matters. Let's have a prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest, and you all love him. It's Pastor Carl. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. I pray radio tonight, Father, goes according to your will, not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father, please bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, mighty name, amen and amen. Well, Pastor Carl Gallitz, yeah, that's who on with us tonight. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor, talk radio host, nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's a founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Why do I always say that funny? Anyway, Carl's written 6 books, now actually 7, but we won't talk about that one yet. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, and Gods and Thrones. He's also he's one of our favorite guests, so welcome, Pastor Carl.
Pastor Dan Catlin, it's so good to talk to you, my brother. Listen, you're very kind to say about my 7th book, and we can't talk about it yet. But listen, we can't get into detail, but I can give the title and I can give an overview. I'm not here to sell a book, but I know that a lot of people are kind of looking for it, so I would be glad to kind of to tell people what it's about. But anyway, hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we always enjoy it. And I have certain a group of people that they listen to me all every week, but they say, well, we really listen when Pastor Carl comes on. And an example was that is after the last program that you were on and you brought on, you were giving an update about Obama's birth certificate and the fingerprint. I had a law enforcement officer contact me, and he wanted to know more about it, and you guys were kind enough to clarify it for him. But anyway, so, yeah, people enjoy you. And, you know, you're pleasant to have on. As my producer said before, Carl, he said, well, Pastor Carl, he's good radio. And
thanks.
I'm sorry.
I heard you pause. I thought you were finished. I didn't mean to step on you. I'm so sorry, brother. But listen, thank you for your gracious words. You're so kind. And to your amazing audience. And, wow, it's always my pleasure to be with you. And like what your producer said, I'm good radio. You know, hey, I've been in the radio business long enough to know that that's not always a compliment, brother. hey, somebody can be a complete idiot and be good radio, because people like listening to idiots too, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, I'll tell you what, talk about it. I don't like to call people names, but I haven't seen anything as idiotic as I thought as I saw today when I watched part of that interview, you know, in Congress. That was just crazy. That guy just looked very angry, evil. I don't know how to put it, but.
Yeah, no, brother, listen, I'm so glad you brought that up. Listen, you know, it may sound like you and I are getting ready to go off into politics and partisanism and, you know, punditry, but please, brother, I know you know this, and I know your audience does, but just in case for your newer listeners, please hear us. Please hear Pastor Dan and us. This is spiritual. We are watching spiritual warfare right before our eyes, because Pastor Dan, you and I said, right after Donald Trump won the election, and even before, I was on your show, and we were talking about, man, we are in for some spiritually tumultuous times. I mean, the gods, little g, are on their thrones. They're scrambling for the thrones. The fallen realm, Satan has been thrown down. He knows his time is short. Israel is 70 years the other side. Jerusalem has been returned to Israel in a year of Jubilee. I mean, this stuff is building and building, and now the deep state, the covers are being pulled back, the rats are running, the roaches are running, the pathologies, the sociopathy that we're watching before our eyes is unbelievable. That guy, Peter Strzok, I watched some of that today too, and plus I've been watching the recaps. And right. Let me just tell you, brother, listen, I spent 11 years in law enforcement, two different sheriff's offices, three different sheriffs. Listen, several commendations of valor, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying I was deeply immersed in law enforcement. My degree from Florida State University was in criminology, criminal justice. And I can tell you, we watched psychopathy today. We watched a psychopath. We watched a guy who is a pathological liar, who has the ability to twist truth to ingratiate and to elevate himself above the truth and above other people. And then did you hear Louis Gohmert call him out and say, you are lying. You are lying. You lied to the FBI. You lied to America. You're lying now to Congress because of all of these
right.
texts. And Peter Strzok tried to say that he had no animosity towards Trump, that there was nothing that was persuading him against Trump, and Gohmert called him a liar. And then, brother, Gohmert looked at him, because the Democrats, they were going crazy.
Yeah.
They were hollering, they were screaming at Gohmert, and they were trying to disrupt, which sounded like an Antifa rally. And
right.
then, Gohmert looked at him and said, well, he says, I wonder, did you look at your wife the same way? With that little smirky grin? And basically he said, those lying eyes. Did you talk to your wife the same way when you were having an affair on her? Oh my gosh. The place erupted. The Democrats' heads exploded. And when I say Democrats, please, this is not a partisan thing. Let's just say the leftists, the extreme leftist liberals,
right.
communist socialists. Their heads exploded. Oh, how could you bring that up? But the point was, it was on point. I mean, this guy has lied to his wife. He's lied to the FBI. He's lied to Congress. He's lied to the American people. And he sat there and his basic message was, but I'm innocent. Now, brother, that is a sociopath.
Yeah. And the looks from, you know, I've seen some, you know, when I watched it and I thought, oh, I couldn't even hardly look at the guy. I've seen some of the stills afterwards, like you're saying, you know, and some of the follow-up stuff that's come out. And he just looked You know, I have, but now, Carl, let me tell you, one of the things that I have good in this ministry is I have faced down real, face-changing, Linda Blair-type demonic things.
Me too.
Cast things out.
Me too.
And let me tell you what, I can pretty well identify a demon when I see one. And
me too.
That is what that face looked like. It
yes,
looked
sir.
Like we was being stared at from the pit to hell. And
thank
speaking
you.
Of hell, I do want to get an overview of your book. Here's something I want to throw in here real quick. Two things. Number one, people, you need to listen. You need to read Gods and Thrones so you can understand some of the spiritual stuff that's going on. Because if you don't have a handle on it, you need to get it. Gods and Thrones is good with that. I want you to give a follow-up to your book. But I also got to ask you to tell me what's all this about. I'm looking at your website, and I'm seeing Zeb Porat all over the place. Looks like you guys have been making rounds.
Yeah, brother, we have. Listen, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, who's been on your show, a dear, dear friend of mine for years, we have been in a lot of ministry, prophecy conference together. The last time he was here, I brought him into my pulpit. We got on an airplane. We went to Birmingham, Alabama. We did a TV show. We went to Springfield, Missouri. We did a TV show. We went to Blue Eye, Branson, Missouri, did another TV show. That was with Jim Baker. We did radio shows. We did live in studio radio shows while he was here in the States, just trying to help people understand the spiritual times we're living in. And from his perspective as growing up as an Orthodox Jew in Israel, destined to be a rabbi, his father, his grandfather's great grandfather were all very famous rabbis in Israel, part of the Dayan, the Orthodox rabbinic courts. They were judges.
Right.
And so we've got this, you know, great ministry together, like you and I have. I mean, the Lord's just connected us, and it's been amazing. And Zev is going to be in a Long Island Prophecy Conference here in a few weeks. I'll be there with him. We're going to make some more rounds.
Are you doing a follow up to the book of the Rabbi Who Found Messiah? Because
yes.
That's where this comes in.
Yes, first of all, in just a few weeks, my follow-up to Gods and Thrones releases, and it's called Gods of Ground Zero. By the way, you should have gotten an electronic copy of that book. Did you ever get that?
Yes, sir, I got it. And let me tell you, the story you opened the book with just floored me. I loved it. I loved the whole book. But, yeah, Carl, last time I said you knocked it out of the park, man, you knocked it out of the county. It's gone.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny because the Lord, let me tell you, so I finished Gods and Thrones, and the Lord put another idea on my heart. I called my publishers, and I said, look, I don't want to waste my time if you're not interested in this. And I said, but God's just put something on my heart after Gods and Thrones, kind of as a follow-up, and they said, oh, by all means, start writing again. And I gave them an idea of what it was about and gave them some outline. Well, in the middle of writing that, I was 2 months into it, when this whole idea of the Gods of Ground Zero, everything you just finished reading and just said those sweet things about, it just flooded me. I mean, it was an anointing, I believe, from heaven. I mean, it just came out of nowhere and filled my soul. So I started writing it, and I thought, how am I going to make this fit in my new book? Because this isn't really where I was wanting to go. So I called my publishers, and I said, please forgive me, but I think the Lord just gave me another book rather than the one I told you. So I sent them the idea. I had already written about 10 chapters of, you know, roughed it out. I sent it to the publishers. They wrote me back, and they said, we want this book. And they said, we're going to release it in November. I said, okay, great. So I started writing it. I got about halfway through. I sent them those chapters. They wrote me back, said, nope, we're releasing this in August. People got to have this now. This is the best thing you've ever written. That's what they said. And I said, so I pray so. I pray God's going to use it, Pastor Dan. Thank you for your kind words. I'm glad you read it. Yes, the opening story is powerful. It's absolutely true. I mean, the people that are involved in that story that I tell are still in my church. They all know it. I got their permission to tell the story. And the people in my church have heard it from the pulpit and out of the mouths of the people that were involved. So as unbelievable as that story may sound to people who are reading it, it is absolutely 100% true. And it demonstrates the reality of the spiritual realm and what's going on in the world. And so anyway, thank you. But it's called The Gods of Ground Zero. See, this first book was called Gods and Thrones. This is the sequel. It's called Gods of Ground Zero. It's available now. You can pre-order it now. People are already pre-ordering it all over the world. And in August 24th, it officially releases. But and let me just say to your audience, you do not have to have read Gods and Thrones in order to completely understand Gods of Ground Zero. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I always try to encourage them to read your past books. You know, of course, even my, I have other favorites in your book. Actually, all your books are my favorite. Anyway, but, well, each one of them is good for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it is. But I have to admit, here's the biggest thing that I, one of the biggest things that I like about your book, this one especially, and more so, it's like in this book, you released yourself, you're writing more like you talk.
Oh,
you know,
thanks.
I could imagine, when I was reading the book, I could imagine you sitting there and telling me the story because you wrote just in the same mannerism in which you talk. And
thank
so,
you.
To me, it's an easy read. It's easy understood. And no, you don't have to do, Gods and Thrones first. But I strongly suggest that people get that book also because I don't want them to miss out on that because
yeah.
It's such a great book. But, you know, this one, I'm headed into my second reading of it, and I know it will – by the time I get the book, you know, anyway, point
yeah.
is it's a great book. Back to
thank you.
You.
You're so kind. Listen, there's so much stuff in Gods and Thrones that's not in Gods of Ground Zero. And there's so much stuff in Gods of Ground Zero that's not in Gods and Thrones. So that's why I tell, just as you did, for people to get both copies. I'm published by a major publisher, so I wish I could give them away. I wish I could give them away. But, you know, publishers, it costs them money. They do an amazing job. They sink a lot of money in these books, and then so they've got to sell them to recover their cost and make a little living, you know. So we can't – I mean, I do give thousands of dollars of books away every year. I do. But I wish I could give every one away. This is not a money-making thing for me. We send them overseas. We pack them up, box them up, send them to Israel and places like that. It costs me – a lot of money. But the bottom line is, I just want people to know this stuff. I want them to have this stuff, Pastor Dan. It's important that the church understands this stuff in the days in which we're living. So, yeah, if they get both of them, they'll have almost a theological education. And
absolutely. Well, let's go with this. And I want to say this absolutely. You know, I people all the time, and I have been dealing with Pat and Carl. I got involved with the ministry clear back in the middle 90s, and, you know, they went around the country having seminars and selling DVDs of the, you know, like people do now, the prophecy conferences and things. And, you know, I heard people come back and say, oh, they're selling the gospel and all this stuff, and they got a donation at the door to get in. Well, you know, somebody had to pay for that motel room. You know, somebody had to pay for the cost of that DVD. Somebody had to pay for the electricity, so on and so forth. And, you know, so it's not selling the gospel, you know. And so, yeah, in a perfect world, if I was a billionaire or a millionaire, hey, I'd buy tons of your books and give them to everybody, too. But that isn't the real world.
Thank you. It's not. But we do. I've worked with my publisher and beg them, and they're all on board with this, to make them available as inexpensively as possible. But it's quality printing, quality books, I think quality material from the, you know, and I really believe the Lord has given me this. So anyway, yeah, but, you know, listen, I'm going to talk about this for just a second to follow up on what you said, and then I want to tell you what Zev and I are working on, which will be the eighth book, because you hinted to that a second ago. And there may be a movie coming with it, and you're going to love it, Brother Dan. You're going to love it. But anyway, let me just say, back to what you were saying, from time to time I'll get somebody on the Internet, you know, that'll say something like, well, if you were a real man of God, you'd just give away your books. And, you know, it's funny. I never respond personally to people because I don't want to get in that kind of a spat, you know. But I've got a whole staff, and they'll respond. And I told them, I said, just be nice, but just let them know, give them some perspective. And so I've had a couple of staff members write them and say, you know, obviously you've never tried to write a book, because you can, first of all, it takes months and months and months, maybe a year or two, to write a quality book. I mean, anybody can just kind of scribble stuff down on paper, but to get it edited, to make it readable, to make it professional and, you know, enjoyable to read, that's a lot of work. It's unbelievable the work that goes into it. Then, if you're going to make it available, what are you going to do? So if I wrote a book and just posted it on a website, other than people like you that know me really, really well, do you think anybody would interview me because I posted something on a website?
No,
but if it's published by a major publisher and people that are big names in the writing world, in the publishing world, endorse it, then television, worldwide radio, they are attracted to that. Then they read it and they say, man, we gotta talk about this. And they get you on the air. And then the word goes out to the world. But it costs money. I mean, it just does. And so people know that. But sometimes people say, well, it's like the Word of God. You're peddling the Word of God. And I like asking them, you know, if they call my radio show, I'll say, really? I said, have you ever read a Bible? And they say, well, yeah. I said, well, was that Bible free? And they say, yes, I got it free. I said, well, somebody paid for it. Somebody printed it. I mean, right. It's not free. Just because somebody else bought it and gave it to you doesn't mean it was free. And it doesn't mean anything of quality is going to be free. So, but listen, I'm going to hush talking about that because your audience knows this. But listen, thank you for saying those kind words about it being written like I talk. Let me tell you something, brother. Years ago when I first started writing, I wrote my first few books the same way. But yeah. My editors wouldn't let me do it. They said, oh, no, you're not supposed to write like you talk. People don't like that. Now, this was 6 or 7 years ago, and I said, but I think they do. I think they want to be able to, you know, to really, really get it. So anyway, I finally got them to change a little bit of my first few books, but the more books I've written, the more freedom I have felt, and the more, since my books have become bestsellers, praise Jesus, yeah. now I have more say with my publishers, and so I told them, I said, look, I'm going to write like I talk. Now, if you don't like that, then don't publish my book. But write like I talk, because people want to read in a more conversational style. So thank you for saying that, brother, that you noticed that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carl, we're going to have to go to a break. So why don't you please give them your website? I know it's easy to find, but give them your website. We'll go to break, come back, and talk about Zev.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, it's carlgallups.com. That's my name, Carl Gallups, GALLUPS.com, and everything about me is there. The church, videos, articles, all my books, everything else, right there at carlgallups.com.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And yes, we're having a really good interview with Pastor Carl Gallup today. But first, I got to give you all a little plug for the Wichita Mission Church. Folks, you know that, I always say that we help the homeless and poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're not only talking about homeless, but we're talking about poor people like this. There are 43% of the people in the United States of America cannot afford to pay their rent, utilities, food, and everything. A bunch of them end up homeless. The ones that can keep a roof over their head, well, it's hunger time. It's like this. 16 million American kids struggle with hunger each year. 62% of teachers say children come to their classrooms, come in, what, hungry. And children facing hunger are twice as likely to repeat a grade in an elementary school. And people say, well, what about food stamps? Yeah, half of food stamp people that get food stamps are children. And you know what? 20% of people that don't have enough food in their household are not eligible for food stamps or any other kind of government assistance. Why? Because they get to a stage where they have a job, it just qualifies them for government assistance, but yet rent has went crazy all over the country, and so they just can't afford everything. And so that's where the Wichita Mission Church comes in. We don't have a monitor at the door. If you want to walk in and get something to eat, you walk in and get something to eat. It's the Father's house. I don't have to get your name, address, get you to sign in on a piece of paper, and so on and so forth. You just walk in the door. You look around. If there's something there that we have available to you, we will give it to you. If it's food, if you come at the right time, you're going to get food. If you're still hungry, we'll make sure that you eat. So we give out. We do all kinds of things, Bibles, the gospel. It just goes on and on and on. But the biggest problem is in summertime, you know, donations trickle down to almost like a drip of water. And so we really, really do need your help to continue to stay open. After all, we are in our 19th year. So please pray about a donation for that. And we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care for one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. And I know you enjoy the radio program because you all keep listening. But you know what? Airtime isn't free, and I have to pay the station. So pray about supporting airtime, because we don't sell anything on this station. Now, the station sells some things, but those aren't our sponsors. So pray about supporting airtime. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, or you can give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now let's talk with a really good subject. Let's talk with Pastor Carl. You still there?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Well, I love having you on. I started to call you an entertainer, but you're not an entertainer, but you're very entertaining. So I don't know. You're just Pastor Carl.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Look, I love people. I love the Lord. I love the Word of God, and I love talking about it. And I love being, I'm just so overwhelmed that God would put you and me together in ministry, that He would raise us up for such a time as this, that we would get to live in these unbelievably unprecedented prophetic days. We're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And I mean, we're watching it. You and I started the show talking about the exposure of the deep state. We saw some of it today. You spoke about seeing a demon face in a guy. And let me just say to you, amen, brother. As a law enforcement officer I was a Christian then, I saw it. I've dealt with demon possessed people, the changing of the voice, the contortion of the face, the contortion of the body. The supernatural strength. And then as a pastor, 30 plus years in the ministry, I've dealt with it over and over again. I know the reality of it. I don't look for demons under every rock, just like you don't. But when you see one, you know it. And I wasn't going to say this on your show, but you said it first. When I saw that face on TV today, when he stopped and started staring at Louie Gohmert and at the senator from South Carolina that used to be the prophet. Yeah, Gowdy, Trey Gowdy. Oh my gosh. I looked at that, and I was by myself watching it, and I said, That's the face of a demon. I said that today. I wasn't going to say that until you said it, so I'm just going to agree with you. Brother, I'm not calling the man demon-possessed, and I'm not saying he's a demon, but I'm telling you, the demonic realm is going crazy right now. The lying, the psychopathy, the the deep state, the desire to destroy America from the inside out, to rip its guts out, it is demonic, and it's being exposed right before our eyes. These are very prophetic times. It's right on the heels of God using the United States of America to lawfully return Jerusalem into the hands of Israel. And like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, that was the greatest gift Israel has ever received since the day it was restored in 1948. And you remember what God's word says about those who bless Israel, brother.
Amen. Well, let's go with this. You know why? You know, the United States, we have did a lot of great things, you know, and we pushed the gospel out to the world, but I still believe that the Bible is Israel-centric, and that's what it's all about. You know, we now have a president that is trying to bless Israel, and look at it, it looks like somebody opened the pits of hell just as soon as he came into office, because all of the, they started even, I mean, they're not even trying to hide their hatred anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the demonic realm, see, Satan. He, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the nations of this world, the ruler of this present world, he knew what Donald Trump represented. He heard Donald Trump say he would restore Jerusalem. He knew Donald Trump would do it. Now Obama ran saying he would restore Jerusalem. Well, Satan knew Obama wasn't going to do it, but George Bush said he would restore Jerusalem. He didn't do it. I think Satan knew that. Bill Clinton said that he would eventually get around to restoring Jerusalem. None of them did it. But Donald Trump said he would, and in the first year of being in office, he did. And within weeks after that, just a couple of weeks after blessing Israel like that, Justice Kennedy resigned or retired, giving Donald Trump in his 20th month, not even 2 years, his second Supreme Court pick. Now, brother,
wow.
Listen to me. Bill Clinton, in his entire 8 years, appointed 2 Supreme Court justices. George Bush, in his entire 8 years, appointed 2 Supreme Court justices. Barack Obama, in his entire 8 years, appointed 2 Supreme Court justices. Donald Trump, in 1 year and 8 months, has appointed 2 Supreme Court justices. And if he serves out 8 years, brother, he can appoint another 1 or 2. And some people have even said maybe 3. It could turn the Supreme Court around and the nation if we don't break into some civil war for generations, brother. Generations.
Yeah.
This is spiritual. This is warfare. This is demonic and against the angelic. This is something that God's people had better wake up to. We've never seen anything like this before, and it's all come on the heels of blessing Israel by restoring Jerusalem.
Yeah, amen. Couldn't have said it better. A lot of people just don't understand how important the Supreme Court has became. I don't believe it was always supposed to be as important as it is right now.
It wasn't.
But it's what's keeping us alive, so to speak. Back
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, brother, this is just amazing. Listen, I'm not going to call the guy's name because I don't get on the air and try to land blast other people by names. Now, if it's a politician like today we were watching, that's fine. But there's another radio host that I was listening to his show today. He's well known. He's a national figure. And I know that during the campaign, he was a never Trumper. Now, I don't think he ever used that term, but he supported the guy from Texas that had Canadian heritage. Help me.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I
care.
Either.
Me either. Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous because I've known his name
Ted
for
Cruz.
Years.
Ted
yes,
Cruz.
Ted Cruz. Yes, I interviewed Ted Cruz's dad on my own radio program. So, I mean, I can't believe I couldn't remember his name. But he was a huge supporter of Ted Cruz, trashed Donald Trump continuously, and then when Ted Cruz lost, oh, he just hated Donald Trump, that America was going to be sorry for voting for Donald Trump. And this guy calls himself a conservative. Well, today, he was on there, and he literally said, yeah, wonder what those never-Trumpers are thinking now. Look how important this is. Look at the 2 Supreme Court justices. Look what's happening in the United States now. Where are the never-Trumpers now? He says, can you imagine? We would have had Hillary Clinton if the Never Trumpers got there. And I'm screaming at the radio saying, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. But see, this whole stuff, brother, I'm telling you, it's exposing hypocrites and sociopaths and liars and the demonic. It is unbelievable if people will just pay attention and kind of watch what's going on. But, brother, this story's not over yet. If Donald Trump gets to appoint another Supreme – look, Justice Kavanaugh, short of something really horrific being exposed about him,
right,
he is going to be confirmed by late September. I mean, the Democrats are going to stall. They're going to try to come against him. They're going to trash him. But by late September, maybe early October, mark my words, he will be confirmed. That will make the court 6-3. 6-3, brother, in favor of conservatives. Now, when Ginsburg goes out, and she's going to, her health will not allow her to stay. It just won't. I mean, she's elderly. She's got health problems. So if Trump, I mean, Ginsburg may go out in the next couple of years, and Trump will get another Supreme Court, which will make it 7-2. And even if Ginsburg doesn't go in the next couple of years, if Trump wins the next presidential election, he'll have 4 more years, plus the 2 he's already got, 6 more years. Brother, this is unbelievable. The deep state hates him with a passion. Satan hates him with a passion. He's a friend to Israel. He gave them back Jerusalem. He has stood up to NATO. He stood up to North Korea. More Hispanics are working than ever before in the history of our nation. More black people are working more than ever before in the history of our nation. The border wall is being going up and being protected. The military stronger than ever. The economy stronger than ever. We are now the number one oil-producing nation in the world, which we've been screaming and begging for that to happen because we knew we had the natural resources. And all of this is happening. Happened in 20 months, brother, and the deep state and the demonic realms going crazy, and you and I looked into the face of a demon today. We saw it.
Well, amen, and you know, that just points to the time that we're in, folks.
Yes.
I got to ask, I want to hear about Zev.
Yes. Okay, Zev Peratt and I. We have joined together. We are working on another work, and it is going to be an explosive follow-up to The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, because there has been so much that has been exposed since that story. So many people have come forward and have leaked some secrets and have told Zev and I some things, and Zev lives in Israel. Zev's whole family knew Rabbi Kaduri personally. Ariel Sharon slept in Zev's grandparents' house. They were so connected to the prime minister's office. Rabbi Kaduri was personal friends with Zev's grandfather. Zev has known Rabbi Kaduri since he was a boy. And then Zev gave his life to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, when he was a young married man. And then Kaduri, this man that had been mentioned in his home all of his life, connected to his family, he leaves a note declaring that Yeshua is the Messiah, HaMashiach. And so and Zev says, oh, my gosh. So Zev's whole family has rejected him, denounced him. They have shunned him because he is now a believer in Messiah, in Jesus as Messiah. But now he's, you know, with my first book and his ministry, he's leading Jews all over Israel to Jesus Christ because of Kaduri's story. He's also, listen, in this book, brother, you don't even know this, I don't think, Zev actually led an imam in Israel inside of a mosque to Christ, Jesus, using the Old Testament, using the Gospel, and using the first book, The Rabbi That Found Messiah. That story is going to be in this new book coming out, as well as the media cover-up, the Orthodox rabbis who have been trashing Zev and this story, the obfuscation that they've laid out, the proof that they have been misleading people, the fallout, the political fallout. Brother, I can't wait to get this out into the hands of people. And plus, this one, even though I enjoyed writing the last one, this one's going to blow the first one out of the water, and this one's going to be written just like I talk, brother.
Well, it's going to be a good book, Carl. I don't know if you all hear my air conditioner back there, but it just went crazy. But anyway, but what's this about a film? You thinking about doing a film with it?
Well, there's the possibility. The publishers are talking to a film company now. There's the possibility of sending me over to Israel and having Zev and I bring this book to life in video as well, and going to the places that we talk about, maybe interviewing some of the people we talk about, and showing people the land of Israel, especially as it related to Rabbi Kaduri and his yeshiva and his synagogue and the people that it impacted from the beginning. So this is a huge revelation, brother, and it's connected to China. It's connected to a biblical prophecy about China. It's connected to biblical prophecy about Jews coming to Christ in the last days in the land of a returned Israel with a restored Jerusalem. It's connected to the Jews who are talking about building the third temple, because Kaduri talked about that possibility. I mean, it's connected to so many things that are happening right now that we couldn't tell in our first book because we didn't know all this stuff. You know, the first book, I think, was good, but it basically just told the story. This one tells the backstory and how it all came about. It's supernatural, brother.
Yeah, amen. Here's the thing about a movie. You know, there's a lot of people that don't read books. I mean,
I know.
We're in an age that it's hard to even get people to read the Bible. I'm serious. I mean, so audio books and things like that, but I took the last one, the movie, and I took it to the church and played it. And afterwards, then they were interested and was willing to pick up the book, you know, and then read. But the last movie was just dramatic, and it really helped a lot of people understand, and it brought a lot of people to the Bible study afterwards, for sure. So the movie is definitely a good idea. I pray, I'm going to be praying that comes true, because like I say, I've just seen the results of both. You know, 20 years ago, book wouldn't have mattered as much. But now, right now, in this age, a movie matters a lot.
No, you're right, brother. Listen, I know that. I understand that completely, which is why I've talked my publishers into letting me write in a way that will interest people who are not big into reading anymore. And they are letting me do that, and people are liking it. And so I write little short chapters now, 5 or 6 pages for each chapter. I write in the same manner in which I'm speaking right now, but, you know, a little cleaner English language I don't mean I'm using dirty language. I mean, my grammar is better in the book than it is when I'm on radio, but it's the same kind of energetic presentation that I do when I speak. And so, but see, you know, I'm a prolific reader. I love to read. I read every night. I mean, I read the scriptures all the time and research, but I mean, at night, I grab a book, just for entertainment, and I read. I'd rather read a book than watch TV. But you know, I'm a dinosaur. I know that most of the people today don't do it. So you're right. The movie will help, but I'm telling you, this next book that's coming out will be so much even easier to read than the first one. And the first one's just still being sold all over the world. But this one, I'm pumped about it. And the story, oh my gosh. I'm going to kind of retell the story of Kaduri on the note, but the backstory, how it all happened and what's happening now, and Muslims being saved and Jews being saved and people in China being saved, and it's because of the Messiah note. I mean, this is amazing. I can't wait for the world to see it.
Right. Amen. Let me say something. I want to say a little something more about your writing style, because this is important. I believe this is important to communicate with people. You know, I don't know if you've ever did the research, Carl, but check it out sometime, and it shows out how long people read for, you know, on the internet, per se.
Yeah.
Their attention span isn't very long at all. Shorter videos, even, and few words. Writing in that mannerism, you know, instead of big long chapters, makes it much easier to read with the way that people are reading now.
Yeah.
And so, let alone the way that you talk, and it comes across that way, and that it just screams Carl Gallup. I was really amazed. You could have took, all the identifying marks off of it and handed me a couple of pages of it, and I'd say Carl Gallup wrote that.
I think I should thank you. I'm not sure.
It's your personality is in there, But of course, I know you pretty well from listening to you, but, and it's great, but you have an easy personality. I mean, it's easy for me to talk with you and people understand you. I get the comments all the time. Like I say, I've got an audience that while most people that say, well, they've listened to me, they listen to me every week. Some of them, well, we just come when certain guests are on. Well, by far, a lot of them like you. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
And, there's
what
no thank you. I'm just talking reality. Yeah. And so when you write the way that you talk, it makes for an easy read, and it's an interesting read, and I get the point.
Thank you. Well, brother, I don't know what to say after that. You're so kind and very encouraging. I mean, the Lord has used you to bless me, and he's used your audience by saying those nice things to bless me today, and I am deeply appreciative. I'm not a needy person. I don't need to be validated all the time, but every now and then it's nice just to be encouraged because brother, in the ministry, you and I are in the ministry together. We go many, 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 many days before we get any word of encouragement.
Carl, for me, I was feeling that way about a month or so ago, just kind of, I needed some encouragement.
Yeah.
And I came to the church, and I ended up going and doing the pickup with the bus, which I hadn't been doing much for the last year, because this elder, he was doing it and volunteering, and I'd been driving for 17 years, anyway. Point being is, so I get to this other pickup point where all the homeless and poor are, and they're all looking at me shocked. I said, what's the matter? And this one guy comes up and looks at me in the window and says, Pastor Dan, you're dead. So I'm dead. I'm not dead. I'm here. He said, no, you're dead. And I said, what? And so I get out, and the wonderful black gentleman I've known forever, I get out, and he says, man, you better go inside. And I said, why? He said, go inside. So I went inside, and the lady, this is at another homeless, day center, inside, and there's this glass partition where the woman that lets you in the door is sitting, and she turns around and looks at me, and her jaw literally dropped, and she just pointed at the door, I said, I need to get in, and she just pointed at the door and buzzed it, and so I went in, and here's all these people, and, people that all of them. But they were upset. Some of them crying, and I came in and they all yelled and about fell out of their chair. Somebody had started a rumor that I had died that week. And so I'm going, hey, I'm alive, and all this. I'm hugging everything. But here's what it did for me. It was a gift. Let me tell you what. I got to see what it would be like if something happened to me.
Yeah.
He said, okay, now quit griping, you're appreciated. Now, can we go back to work? I'm good. And so I'm good now. I know I make a difference. But it was a gift. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. That's unbelievable. That's a funny story, Pastor Dan. I mean, oh, my gosh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, we had a little sound drop there, but I heard every word you said. But anyway, that's a funny, funny story. I appreciate you sharing that. Oh my gosh. Well, listen, brother, I know we're running out of time. You've been so gracious. Yeah, you've been so gracious to encourage me and to ask me about some of my latest works. And so, I appreciate you doing that. But let me just say to your audience, again, we're living in very prophetic times. We saw some of it again today. Jerusalem, Israel, the Middle East, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Turkey. Oh, my gosh. And now the deep state being uncovered. Brexit, NATO, a man in the White House. Again, I don't think he's an angel from heaven, but, man, God is using him. He's confronting world leaders. He's confronting Russia. He's confronting China. He's confronting the NATO leaders. He's confronting North Korea. He's confronting the deep state. Brother, I hope your listeners won't forget this. these are the things that we've been praying for years. How many times have you and I said, I wish we had a man in the White House that had the guts to stand up to Congress, to stand up to our enemies, to stand up to the Middle East, to stand up to Russia, to stand up to the deep state. We've been saying that for decades, almost crying out to God. And lo and behold, we've got a man just like that right now, brother.
Amen. Well, Carl, I really got to go and say goodbye. Tell the folks, I guess it's what, carlgallops.com, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, you be blessed, and we'll talk again. And I can't wait to hear from you next month. So you be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
You too. God bless. God bless.
Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. Go over and check out his site. Pastor, it's at carlgallops.com. Folks, we really do need your help at the Wichita Mission Church. I can't tell you how badly. You must remember, though, there is only one God. Who is he? He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, always, always be what? Oh, a blessing to others. How can you not be a blessing to others if you're saved? Pray for the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your support, and for radio. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. We'll